Just thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Yeah, well, thank you guys, the ones that are here. I know it's Memorial Weekend, or excuse me, Labor Day Weekend. It's not Memorial Weekend. It's Labor Day Weekend. And I don't want to go too high because it was ringing. Is that okay? If it starts ringing, I'm going to put it back down a little bit. But it's Labor Day Weekend. I know people are at the fair. People are camping, getting their last-minute camping. But I'm thankful that you guys are here, and I'm thankful that we're here. And it was a good 2 months off for us, and we just needed some time just to unplug a little bit. And like I said, I'll be sharing a little bit more of that later. It was funny. My daughter didn't quite understand Gia. She just loves Jesus, and she loves church. And so every Sunday she'd be like, are we going to church? We're like, no, honey, we're just going to rest a little bit. And, you know, we're just trying to seek the Lord. And she's like, what? We don't love God? And I'm like, no, honey, we love God. And you don't want to get touched by the Holy Spirit in church? And I'm like, yes, we do, but we're just not going today. You know, I just love kids. I love the faith of children. But yeah, we're happy to be back. And I know God has some amazing things in store for us and in store for everybody that is camping, in store for everybody that's on fair rides right now. And so we're just happy. And yeah, I'm going to jump back into the Word, and we're going back into this book of Acts. Say Acts. And if you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 11. Are you guys happy?
Yes.
Are you alive?
Yes.
He wasn't in here when I said this, but didn't you just love Pastor Gabe?
Yes.
Come on, that was beautiful, anointed. They are just such amazing friends, and I'm so thankful for you, for both of you. And I feel like the Lord spoke something to me this morning that I want to share toward the end of this message for both of you. But in Acts 11, we see this amazing story is continuing, right? This story is unfolding for us. And I love Acts 11. I don't know about you, but I love, for as long as I can remember, I've loved the amazing supernatural stories of the Bible. I love reading stories where Peter's shadow is literally healing people. It's just fascinating to me. And I love this story where it talks about the first half of this chapter. Anyway, it's amazing because it's the whole thing where Peter's on the rooftop and he has the vision. And usually, typically in my life, when I would read chapter 11, this is just me, but when I would read chapter 11, I would hone in on this. I would hone in on the supernatural aspect, the visions, the prophecy, all that stuff, because there's something in me that just really loves that. But for whatever reason, as I was reading it this time, my heart began to click with the second half of Acts chapter 11. And so I pray that this would bless you. I feel like it is a rhema word for us. I feel like it's a rhema word for those that are not here and listening online and on YouTube world. And I feel like it's for me personally. But I can't skip over the first half because it's so it's a pivotal portion of Scripture. So I just want to touch on the first half of what's going on, and then I want to hang out on the second half of Acts chapter 11. And like I said, just to kind of paraphrase what's going on in 11 verses 1 through about 18, we see Peter, and remember he has this vision on the rooftop. And what did it say in verse 6? When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. This was the Lord saying that bacon is good. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Come on. We love some bacon. No. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, and what God has cleansed, you must not call common. I love this. I'm just going to just kind of talk a couple points on this first half for just a moment, because it's such an amazing, it's really, if you just think about the whole book of Acts, if you think about the gospel, this is really Acts 1:8, just coming alive, where the Jesus in his resurrected body speaks to his disciples and he says, I want you to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And all of a sudden, it's happening. The first 8-9 chapters of Acts is all about Jerusalem. It's all about reaching the Jewish people. But now we see the Gentiles being reached. Now it's like it's messing with their minds, that the people that God wants to touch. And, you know, and I think this happens a lot in our society. Maybe we're not sitting on a rooftop and the Lord's like, you know, don't call unclean what I call clean. But how many times do we walk into a coffee shop or church and we think that people are too far away from God, or we see somebody with a turban on their head and we're like, we get a little intimidated, we get a little scared. And we think they're too far. We think they're unable to be touched by a mighty God. But God says, no, I died for all. I shed my blood for all. And do not call unclean what I am calling clean. I love it in Samuel. I love this beautiful verse in Samuel that says that men are constantly looking at the outward appearance, but that it is God that looks at the heart. You know, I love this thing that we do called church. And I just, with everything in me, I've always loved church since I got saved. You will find me in church. You will not find me in a bar. You will find me in church. I love to worship. I love intercession. I just love everything about church. But how many know, even though this amazing organization, this amazing thing that we serve in, can sometimes be clicky. Sometimes this amazing thing called church, this amazing thing called the body of Christ can be clicky. And sometimes we, without even knowing it, sometimes we can exclude people. Sometimes we can shun people that walk through the doors. Maybe we don't give them the time of day. Maybe we don't shake their hand. I love one time I was at the Dream Center. This was just, I saw the church in action. Lana, how you doing? I saw from my eyes the real church. I was at the Dream Center. I'm worshiping in the front and I'm lifting my hands. And all of a sudden I look to my right and there's this lady. I couldn't prove this to you, but I mean, it looked like she was fresh out of prostitution and, you know, just wearing some crazy clothes and she's worshiping her heart out and she's got like 3 teeth. Whoa, that's intense. And I look over here and there's a bunch of these kids that they brought in on the bus ministry and they were like street kids. Some of them looked like they had been doing drugs just a couple days before and they're sitting there worshiping and I'm like, wow, this is intense. And I look behind me and there's a man in a 3-piece suit and then there's some sports stars, some professional athletes. And I'm like, but nobody was focused on each other. Everybody was focused on him. And there was an atmosphere of love. There was an atmosphere of unity. And I said, God, this is what the church is supposed to look like. Uh-huh. Yeah. This is a beautiful representation of the church. And this is what I feel like this first part of that scripture is telling us. And it's all about the gospel. It's all about going to the one. It's all about letting it come alive in us, that we would let it come alive to those. Amen. It's just this, I love this. And in the past, I would probably spend the entirety of my message on this first part. And I'd talk about prophecy and visions and dreams and all these fun things that we love to learn about. But like I said, I feel the Lord on this second half of Acts chapter 11. And I just want to read a few verses to you. And I hope this blesses you. And so starting in verse 19, we see this story of a man named Barnabas. Say Barnabas. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, hope I'm saying that right, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was upon them. And a great number believed and they turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. This is, it's loaded. But if you don't really hone in on it, you don't know it's loaded. And the thing that God was really speaking to me was about this man named Barnabas. How many love Barnabas? And I want to pull a few things out of his life that I really have been blessing me. And I feel like it's a season that we are in as a church, as a whole in America, and as a church, as this church, Church on the Mountain. I feel like this is where we are at. But I love that Luke was very fond of this man named Barnabas. You know, in verse 23, what does it say? It says that that he calls him a good man. He was a good man. He was, or verse 22, was it 22 or 23? 24. 24, sorry. And 24, he says he was a good man, that he was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. He was a good man. I something just about that hit my spirit. He was a good man. I believe that Luke was able to call him a good man because he was full of the Holy Spirit. Because of that, the next two statements, he was full of the Holy Spirit and he walked in faith. This is what these two things, I believe, made Barnabas a good man. And so what is being full of the Holy Spirit have to do with us? It has everything to do with us, really. And really, it's about positioning our heart in a place of prayer, you know, because God does the filling, but we have to get ourselves into prayer so he can fill us. We have to get ourselves into a place in the Word where he can fill us. If we're not reading the Word and we expect him to fill us, how is he going to fill us? If we're not making time for him in our life, how can he fill us? And so obviously Barnabas was making time for God, and he was being filled by the Holy Spirit. But he didn't stop there. He walked in faith. You see, the filling is up to him, but the faith is up to you. The faith is up to me. The faith is action. Faith is a verb. Somebody say action. Somebody say faith is a verb. I'm going to get you so you're not falling asleep on me today. Faith is a verb. It's action. It demands action from our lives. It's the walking out of what he's called us to do. It's us. It's Moses standing in front of the Red Sea and being completely terrified, but yet saying, I will stretch out this staff and I will place it in the water. That's faith. Yeah. And it wasn't until he did that act that the sea parted. Yeah. It is the act of Jesus, I see you out there in the sea. I'm going to take a step of faith out of this boat. It wasn't until he took a step of faith that he began to walk on water. You have to speak to your mountain, the Bible says, in order for it to crumble into the sea. If we don't speak to it, if we just look at it, if we just cry about it, it's never going to crumble to the sea. But we have to stand in front of that thing and say, mountain, you be cast into the sea. Yeah. Amen? And we have to be able to praise and worship when it feels like you're in prison, which we read about later in the book of Acts. But I love that they did not allow their circumstance, their situation, dictate what was going on the inside of them. And they said, I will praise, I will worship, and all of a sudden the prison doors blew open. That is faith. See, faith says, I'm not moved by what I'm feeling. I'm not moved by the surrounding situation. I'm going to step into this thing, and I'm going to declare, and I'm going to speak. Faith is believing and speaking. As I've heard before, faith is action. Somebody say, hallelujah. So being filled, and he was walking in faith. He was filled up, and he walked in faith. And here's just a couple of cool things that you know, because being filled with the Holy Spirit obviously makes me understand that it wasn't just he was walking in the gifts of the Spirit. There's the fruit of the Spirit in his life. That's why he could say he's a good man. Mm-hmm. Fruit of the Spirit, character. He had good character in his life. He had perseverance. He had patience. He had love. There's, you know, I think the fruit of the Spirit is many times lacking in many of us Christians. But we love the gifts, but we're lacking on fruit. I think God wants some juicy fruit to begin to come out of our lives. So people would say, these are good men. These are good women. These are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I want to hire them. I want them to be on the team. You know, so these are just a couple things that I have found in just these few verses that we have read. And it says in, check this out, in verse 22. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And so the thing that stands out to me, number one, about Barnabas's life is that he had empathy. He really was a man that had empathy. Because this was a time when it was, we read, they were only going to the Jews. They were only preaching to the Jews. Like, this was what the ministry was all about. But now he has empathy for this man named Paul, which we'll talk about in a minute, a few chapters before. He has empathy toward these outsiders in Antioch. And I think if we're truly filled with the Spirit of God, walking with the Spirit of God, we begin to have this thing called empathy. Not sympathy, but empathy. I don't think sympathy is from the Lord, but empathy is. Number two, I see this in verse 22 as well. Again, I'll just read the verse. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. So I see that Barnabas was submitted to the call of God upon his life through the local church. He was submitted to the local leaders in his life. He was submitted to the apostles. And they could have said, like, Barnabas, you're going to Antioch. He's like, sorry, bro, that's not my ministry. Like, I don't feel called to that. No, Barnabas, like, we've prayed and we really feel like you're supposed to go. Sorry, man, like, I'm just going to go do something else. No, he was submitted to the call of God upon his life, and he trusted the fathers in his life. And when they said, no, this is what we really feel you're supposed to do, he submitted himself to that. That is a beautiful thing. That is why Luke could stand back and say, man, this is a good man. This is a man of character, a man of nobility, a man of patience, of perseverance. I'm getting somewhere. Don't worry. You're gonna be glad. Number three, he loved sharing the message of grace. Just in those few verses, he loved the message of salvation. He loved the message of grace. This is a good man. For he rejoiced over other people encountering God. Do we rejoice? Do we get happy when we see other people being blessed? Do we get happy when we see other people getting just amazingly encountered by a good, good father? Or do we get jealous? Oh, I wish, I've been saved for 20 plus years, and why isn't God speaking to me like that? Why isn't God doing that in my life? Why isn't he blessing my finances like that? Why isn't he doing that? Why isn't he opening the floodgates of heaven for me? Do we get jealous or do we celebrate? I think we have to be have our hearts in a position of gratitude and celebration for other people. A to the men. But the thing that really just spoke to me more than anything, more than all this, and I just wanted to touch on that because I think it's important to know who he is, the attributes in his life, the fruit in his life. But the thing that stuck out to me more than anything, which I feel like it is a word for me and it's a word for us, was actually his name. His name itself means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. And as I just begin to pray into this, I just felt more than anything. I just feel there are people in this room and there are people listening and there are people in our area that need encouragement. If you look at Acts chapter 9, just I'll paraphrase this, but this was such an important, pivotal moment in church history. Acts chapter 9, we know that Saul gets knocked down and he has this amazing encounter with Jesus and he becomes this radical, fiery missionary named Paul, right? But do you we quickly forget that the Jews hated him. They're like, we want this guy dead. Like, erase him. Like, he's a nobody now. Like, he was leading the charge against the church. Now he's preaching this weird stuff. Like, kill. They wanted him dead. They were literally ordering him to be killed dead. And so, okay, now he's like, well, I'm on this team now. So I'm sure the apostles are going to just bring me in. They're going to put their stamp of approval. But the apostles are like, whoa, like, I don't understand you. Like, you were just killing us. You were dragging people out of the homes. We're not sure if we want to endorse this. And so now Paul was caught between a rock and a hard place. What do you do when nobody believes in you? What do you do when you feel all alone? And there's nobody by your side. Where do you run? Where do you go? This is the importance of the body of Christ. All of a sudden, when he felt like giving up, this is a pivotal moment. He was about to get launched into ministry, launched into destiny, launched to plant churches all over the region. He could have been killed, but all of a sudden, Barnabas steps in. He says, whoa, wait. I believe in him. I believe what he's saying is true. And everybody honored Barnabas. And because of Barnabas's good name, and he was in good standing, they begin to put their endorsement and their stamp upon this man named Paul. Who in our life needs someone like that? I want to show you a quick video. This video, I played it about a year ago. And honestly, like, you know, when I first watched it, I kind of started crying because I felt like this person, and I won't say too much. I just want to play this video, and then we'll get right back into this. You'll know where I'm going. That's not even the good part. So,
Mike, don't tell him if
All right. Well, hopefully it'll start up in just a moment. But as powerful as that lion was, as fierce as that lion was, king of the jungle, ruling over the savannah, left alone, they are vulnerable. Left alone, they can be attacked and killed. You see, the enemy wants to isolate and he wants to separate. If he can isolate you, then he can kill you. If he can separate you from the body, if he can separate you from family, if he could separate you from people that truly love you and believe in you, then he'll take you out. And strong, I mean, did you see how like fierce and strong? I mean, he was like throwing the hyenas around, but when there's so many, like, and sometimes this is exactly what's going on. It's like, maybe it's financial pressure. Maybe it's relational issues. Maybe there's just all these things coming at you at once. And you're like, I just can't deal with all of these things right now. And I feel like I'm just being worn down and beat up and beat down. And you don't know what to do. And you just feel like giving up. And this is exactly the position that Paul could have found himself in, as the Jews wanted him dead. They wanted his head. The apostles don't understand this man. They are not putting their stamp of approval. And all of a sudden, Barnabas says, I believe in him. I endorse him. I will fight for him. Sometimes we need people in our life to just come alongside of us and say, I'll fight for you. And I truly believe with everything inside of me, I believe that this is the call of the church, that we are flipping the page in our time in 2019 and 2020, that it has been so long about the individual. It's about my ministry. It's about what I can do. But I feel like God is saying, no, I'm looking for some Barnabases. I'm looking for a few good men and a few good women that will come alongside the weak and the broken and the isolated and those that feel alone and begin to lift people up and fight for them. If we had a few people in the church that would begin to fight for people, just think what it would do in our society. I keep hoping that's going to pop back up. But I do. I believe that this is the call of the church. And I mean, think about Paul's ministry in his life. You see, in this moment, he gets endorsed by Barnabas. And if you read the Acts, like, it's really cool. Like, their missionary travels, it says Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. And then all of a sudden there was a shift and it was Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas. But Paul, there was a season where Paul really needed to hang out with somebody that was stronger than him. And Barnabas was a trustworthy man. And he was endorsed by the apostles. And so Barnabas began to run alongside of this man named Paul. And it's just a beautiful picture of what I feel like God is calling us to do and calling who he's calling us to be in this time and in this church. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And so he gets launched into his ministry. He gets launched into his destiny because somebody believed in him.
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I believe that we all have the ability and we have the capacity to be a Barnabas for somebody. We have the ability, the God-given ability, and we have the capacity inside of us to be a Barnabas for somebody in our life. There is somebody in your social media life or somebody in your family life, somebody in your circle of influence that is desperate, that feels alone, that feels like they can't make it. But you step in and say, no, you're going to make it. And I'm going to fight for you. Like that's just the beauty of the gospel. And there have been times in my life where I feel like I honestly, like if I could just be vulnerable, there have been many times where I've just wanted to throw in the towel in ministry, and just feeling just worn down at times. Last year was very hard on my family. And my wife's health was getting attacked. We were under a lot of spiritual warfare. And I just felt like giving up. I felt like waving the white flag. I just felt like I can't do this anymore. I can't this isn't working, Lord. You got to show up. You got to do something. And all of a sudden, you know, it just was kind of like, I felt like, I remember going to see the Avengers. Like, it's a pretty sad state when you go to see the Avengers and you start crying. Like, I'm watching the Avengers and I'm like, that's exactly what happened. Everybody's poof and they're gone. Like, I felt like the snap happened to me. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, the power, you know, the Thanos snap. But the Lord said, no, I am bringing reinforcements for your wife. I am bringing reinforcements for you. I am bringing reinforcements to the church body. I am bringing reinforcements to the Eastern Sierras. And it's not going to look like it always looked. It's not going to smell like it always smelled. It's not going to taste as it always tasted. And so I begin to rest in that. And all of a sudden, people begin to come. People that I'd never knew wanted to help us, like our good brother Soto and Gloria. And they said, oh, Mike, the Lord is moving on our heart. And we feel we are to give up our ministry and move to help you guys. I said, are you drunk? you live in Mongolia. I'm just joking. Did you drink too much, you know, fermented horse milk? I don't know. Said, no, we feel like we're supposed to help you. Wow. All of a sudden, and you know, Pastor Gabe and Monica are amazing and just dear friends and just a brother and sister in the Lord. And I'm so honored to call you friends. And you know, but they've just been a real asset and support to Heather and I. And when we have had questions and when we have felt weak and you know, needing somebody to be vulnerable with and to talk to, all of a sudden God brings in these like Iron Man and Captain Marvel over here to, you know, to lift up our arms. And you know, and they just said, hey, we want to help you, and we want to just, we're in this relationally with you. And so you're going to see them more. You're going to see them around. You know, they're not coming here to like be on staff. They're not coming here to, you know, they're not in it just for some kind of position. They believe in us and they believe in our church. Amen. And so that it's about relationship. Amen. And so when you have people working together and friends working together and relationships working together, it's a beautiful thing. And you see the kingdom advance. Amen. So how awesome is that? The Lord is sending the people. And I guess we're not going to get this video. Any luck? Thumbs down. That is a big, fat bummer. But I'll just tell you what happened. So watch it on YouTube when you get to out of Crowley and you get to some high-speed internet. But it's a really amazing video. Lion gets attacked by hyenas, and all of a sudden, the announcer in his wonderful little British voice, he said, I don't think he's going to make it, you know. And all of a sudden, this other lion comes out and he begins to roar and all the hyenas scatter. And so one isolated lion could not take them on, but two lions could put them all to flight. Two lions in unity, nothing can stop them. And when we are unified, it was really cool. We were driving into Crowley today, and we begin to see these beautiful birds, and they're flying in unison. They were taking off out of Crowley, and they looked like some of them were going into their migration. And they were circling around and circling around. And there were some that were like scattered far off, and they were waiting for the ones to come into unity with their flight before they left. And all of a sudden, they just kept circling around, and then more gathered in, and then they begin to move. There's something about unity that God says, I command my blessing. God is there where there's unity. Amen. We have the ability and we have the capacity to be a Barnabas for somebody. There's somebody in your life, whether it's a family member, a friend, that person that you just, like I said, maybe it's on Facebook and you're like, that's a weird post. I'm just going to scroll right by that. But maybe you have a word. Maybe you have some courage for them. Encouragement. You know, I love the definition of it. It's bringing hope. I looked it up. There's a couple other cool definitions in it. I don't want to butcher it. I want to tell you exactly what it is. We all know what encouragement is, but sometimes when you read definitions, it helps it even more, right? I'm just stalling, hoping the video's going to play. Maybe there's no internet because my phone ain't going. Anyway, we have the ability to be a Barnabas. And and we have the ability to need and the capacity to need a Barnabas. And so I would say this is the call of our lives. This is the call of our church, is to be like a Barnabas, to be one that gets low, to be one that serves, to be one that champions other people's destinies and ministries and callings and business ideas. You know, I think the thing that I love about Barnabas is he got full. He was getting full of the Holy Spirit. He's walking in faith, but it didn't stop there. It didn't stop just with that. You see, you look at the Red Sea. The Red Sea has lots of water flowing into it. It's constantly got this flow coming into it, but there's no outflow. And if there's no outflow in our lives, we just get dead.
Yeah, that's right.
If there's no opportunity for there to be an outflow, for the water to be released, then we become a dead sea. We're already dead if there's no outflow in our life.
Right.
And so we need to find somebody to lift their arms and to say, I will fight for you. I will be your coach in your corner. Amen. And we all need the Barnabas in our life. You say, well, I don't know anybody like that. Well, find somebody like that. Because the Bible specifically says in Proverbs 13:20 that if you walk with a wise person, you will be wise. And so if you want to be a good father, hang out with a good father. If you want to learn how to be a good mother, hang out with a good mother. If you want to learn how to be a good business person, hang out with somebody that's good in business. But there are wise people that walk with the Lord, and it would do us good to hang out with them and allow them to mentor us, allow them to coach us, allow them to father and mother us, to lift our arms when we feel like giving up. Come on. Maybe in your family, so many times the family unit is being attacked. Marriages are being attacked severely. And sometimes there's all kinds of stuff in your home and the TV's on and it looks like everybody's happy, but inside people feel alone. They feel isolated from their spouse. How are we ever going to make this? How are we ever going to break through this problem that we've been struggling with for years upon years? But there's an answer. It's called the body of Christ. It's called vulnerability. It's called loving each other. I don't know, maybe this is a message just for me. Maybe I'm just preaching. Good preaching, Mike. See, I think the world really, if we could boil this down, I believe with all my heart, I believe the world is desperate for this message.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, like the church is awesome. Sometimes really critical. Sometimes really judgmental. But it's awesome. I love it. I love it, I do. But I think the world is waiting for that sweet-smelling aroma.
Yeah.
I believe the world is waiting for sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of encouragement. See, Barnabas, his name, his actual birth name was Joseph. But Luke and the others, they recognized something on his life, so much so that they said, no, you're Barnabas, son of encouragement. I pray that we would all be that for people's lives, that we would be that in the body of Christ. And because the world is desperate for courage. The world is desperate for ambassadors of hope. You want to know who else is desperate? The church is desperate. The church is desperate. You know, I think we need ambassadors of hope to come and to return to the body again. You know, there's a real strong sense of justice in a lot of people. And I love justice. I love that. I get behind people with a good justice cause. And it burns in me too. But I think justice left unchecked and justice that is not soaked and saturated in prayer becomes legalism. And it can become religion. And it's all about the do's and the don'ts. And you do this and you don't do this. And you do this and you don't do this. But what did Jesus say to the Pharisees who were doing this and not doing this?
Yeah.
He had some sharp words. And so I love justice. I love fighting for the unborn. I love taking on causes that are just going to change our world and change our country. But let the justice and let that cause be soaked and saturated in Jesus and in prayer. Because we need courage again in our body. We need hope again in the Eastern Sierras. We need hope in Church of the Mountain. We need hope in Crowley. We need hope, you know, for loved ones that pass away. We need to be able to come and just, not with an answer, but with a hug that is so full of Jesus that they say, I don't know what just happened, but I feel different. That's my prayer for our church. You know, I remember just going through horrible times, losing people in my life and untimely deaths, and you just have questions. And some of the most powerful, I can't even remember all of the prophetic words I got and certain things, but some of the most powerful moments, I can take you back to those hard seasons, or was when somebody came alongside of me and hugged me and just began to release hope over my situation, begin to release joy over my situation. And so I pray that we would be people like that. Whoever is in your circle of influence, that you can just, you don't have to have this big booming word of the Lord. It's sometimes a coffee and a hug. I love you. I believe in you. If you need me, I will fight for you. If you don't want me to fight for you, I'm over here. Just know that I'm over here. Those are powerful words. And I think the church needs to begin to use powerful words again. Amen. You know, we've focused so much on our own ministries, which is fine. I believe that we need to have powerful ministries and we need to have powerful, you know, all these things going on. But can we be unified again like those birds? Wait a minute. There's a couple that are not in unison with us. We're gonna wait. Come on. Now we're going. Hallelujah. So who are we fighting for? Who in your life are you fighting for? And maybe you say, I'm not fighting for anybody. Well, who could you fight for? And then who are you fighting? Because I'm guilty of this too. Sometimes I forget that the battle is not with flesh and blood. I forget that sometimes. I know it. I could quote it. But sometimes when you're in the heat of it, you forget it. And you're like, no, it is with, I know it's flesh and blood. I know that it's right here in front of me, and I'm just going to get my boxing gloves on. We're gonna do this. But it's not with flesh and blood. So who are we fighting? And if we're fighting with somebody, why? What is the fruit of that? What is going to be the long-term fruit of that? It is not kingdom. It is not the kingdom of God to fight with brothers and sisters. It is not the kingdom of God to gossip about brothers and sisters. It is not the kingdom of God. See, I think, I'll just be honest, I think most of the church in America needs to ditch their bus ministry. You're like, what? No, I think most of the church in America has a very bad problem and a very bad ministry of throwing people under the bus. I'm serious. We need to stop the bus ministry, the wrong bus ministry, and we need to start the ministry to the poor again. Amen. The ministry to the prostitutes, the ministry to the hungry. There's people in the world. I mean, just think, like, we get so caught up in church politics and in world politics, and there are people in other countries that can't even get a drip of clean water. I'm like, what the heck are we fighting over? Why are we pointing our swords at each other? When the Bible says that the enemy roars like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Come on now. If we're pointing our swords at each other, we're not advancing the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm gonna wrap this up, and I guess you can watch that video on your own time. It's a great video. Lion being attacked by hyenas. And so, who are you fighting for, and who is fighting for you? That's a good question, you know, because sometimes in our life, I think we can be fighters. We're fighting for everybody. We're blessing everybody. But then we've put our neck out there. We've gone so far ahead and we're like, well, nobody's fighting for me. We've all felt that way. And so just make sure there's people in your life that love you. Make sure that there's people in your life, fathers and mothers and just brothers and sisters in the Lord that have your best interest at hand and want to fight for you just the same as you want to fight for them. Because we need each other. We're a body. We're a family. Amen? Hallelujah. It's time to fight for each other again. It's time to be ambassadors of hope. It's time to believe in each other once again. And I speak this message, and I said this in the beginning, but I truly feel with all my heart, I feel that you guys embody this message of Barnabas. I feel like there is a lot there. I mean, we all know, we've heard you preach, and we know your resume. There is a lot of authority upon your lives. But I believe that God has strategically placed you to come alongside people like myself and even others that are feeling worn out, beat down, and to lift up the hands and say, I will fight for you. And you will literally launch people into their destinies and their ministries just by coming alongside of them. And so I am so blessed to call you friend. But I feel like this very thing that's beginning to happen in the church where people are getting a servant leader mentality again, where it's not just about me, but how can I serve the bride? How can I serve the church? How can I get low instead of getting in a high position? I feel like you guys taking this position and doing what you're doing is literally going to catapult the church into the right position. And so I just am so thankful for your life. And I'm thankful that you would serve us and love us and partner with us. And amen. And I want to end with a quote. And I think this really just sums it up beautifully. And it's one of my favorite quotes. It's one of my favorite people in history. It's a man by the name of William Booth. Yeah. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. He's a powerful, powerful guy. He loved people well, you know, because that's really what it's all about. It's love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you could do these two things well, then we're doing good. But I love William Booth. He says this. He says, in the midst of crazy England, in the midst of all kinds of stuff going on and the church being attacked, and he says, while women weep as they do now, I will fight. While children go hungry as they do right now, I will fight. While men go in and out and in and out to prison, I will fight. While there is a drunkard left on the streets of England, I will fight. While there is one lost soul without the light of God, I will fight. I will fight to the very end. How amazing is it to have a person step into your story, step into your picture and to fight like that? But he was just an ordinary man. And so are we, but we have an incredible God. And so who are we going to fight for? I believe that we need to fight for people in our lives. So Father, I just thank you, God, for hope rising in this house right now. I thank you, Jesus, that you have called us to be ambassadors of hope. I thank you, Father, for the spirit of Barnabas. Lord, it's not about what we can get, but it's about what we can give. It's not about all the stuff that we can get, but how can we serve? How can we serve you? Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for humility being returned and restored to the body of Christ at large. Lord, your word just says that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And so, Father, I just thank you for humility in this house, humility in Church on the Mountain in the Eastern Sierras. Father, and I just pray right now that you would help us to rise. Just put your hands in front of you just for a moment. I believe the Lord's going to give you a picture of somebody that he is wanting you to fight for. Lord, who's that? Who's that individual? Who's that person that needs courage right now? Who's that person that needs strengthening right now? That needs security right now? That needs comfort right now? That needs a hug right now? God, just reveal that to us. Reveal that to us, God. Father, I just thank you for hope, message of hope rising in this house once again. Lord, let this church be a refuge for the weary, a home for the broken, an equipping place, Father, a sending place. And I just pray that everyone in this room, that we would have a heart like Barnabas. We would have an empathy for the outsider. We would have a heart to serve those that are all around us. That we would submit to the call of God upon our life. Father, I just pray that you would just put that heart in us, God. A heart to serve. A heart to champion other people. A heart to love other people and to launch people into their destinies. I just thank you for that. And so I believe people in this room, you're getting a picture right now of an individual. And I pray you would not just chuck that out the door once you leave this building. You write that name down. And you think of real practical ways that you could just do something, whether it's starting with prayer, but maybe just shooting a phone call, shooting an email, just saying something or getting a cup of coffee with them. There's things that we can practically and intentionally do in people's lives that will make people feel like they are not alone. And I know at times we all feel ourselves, we feel alone. And so I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I just want you to grab hands with the person next to you just for a few minutes. And I just want us to pray for each other. Because there's times in our lives when we feel alone. But that's a lie. You're not alone. And so I just want you to link hands, pray over the person to your left and right for just a moment. Just release hope over them, over their situation. Release courage. The presence of Jesus. The valley of the shadow of death. My God shall be with me. Oh, we rest in you. Oh, ha. Come on. Yeah, we rest in you. Hey, Jesus. Great Shepherd. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. Yeah, just for about one more minute, just bless them. Just pray over their life. give them courage. I feel like some people need courage in the room. Courage for some upcoming decisions. Courage for some battles that you're facing. Courage for some decisions and things that are in front of you. You need some courage to step out of the boat. Give that person a little dose of some courage today. Give them a dose of some hope today. Sing just for a moment. You're released to go. And Father, I just thank you for this word. I thank you for hope rising in this building. Hope rising in Church of the Mountain and Crowley Lake and Mammoth. Father, we thank you for hope. We thank you for courage. We thank you, Jesus, that you're with us. This is a new season. It's a new time. We're excited, Jesus. We love you, Father. Thank you, God. Yeah, and I just bless every person in this room. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Whatever is trying to stick to you from yesterday, I just command that thing to get off of you. Discouragement and depression that are trying to stick to you and latch on to you, I break that off in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is great freedom. Let's just worship the Lord for just a couple moments and we'll close.
Lift your eyes to heaven. So lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. There is freedom. Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes to heaven. All in unison, sing it out loud. Freedom reigns in this place. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace. They're falling on every face. Falling on every face. There is freedom. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Freedom reigns. Tired and weary, there's freedom. Sing it out. So if you're tired and weary, someone needs to receive this. There is freedom. If you're tired and weary, sing it together. Freedom reigns in this place. Freedom reigns in this place. Mercy and grace, they are falling on every face. There is freedom. Do you believe the words we sing this afternoon? Can we sing it again? Freedom reigns. Freedom reigns in this place. Over your service. Shower. Showers. Mercy and grace. Falling on every. Falling on every. Feel that there's an anointing even right now to break the spirit of addiction, to break the spirit of bondage. So Lord, we just declare that your blood is enough, the cross is enough, your love is enough. I just declare right now with the authority that you've given me and us in this room, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, we just break any curse of addiction, any curse of worry and fear, Lord, that is attached to addiction. We just break it right now in the name of Jesus. We say all bondage has to flee right now in the name of Jesus. Besetting sin, flee in the name of Jesus. Generational curses be broken right now in the name of Jesus. We declare your freedom. It's not a song that we just sing. It's the truth of your word. It's the truth of the cross. We just break every addiction right now. We break the addiction to alcohol. We break the addiction to pornography right now in the name of Jesus. We break the addiction to gambling. We break the addiction to television and media. We break the addiction, Lord, to video games, whatever it may be, Lord, in this place. We break it right now in the name of Jesus. We break the addiction to self-hatred and low self-esteem. We break addiction, Lord, to the thoughts that get in the way of the truth, who you say we are, God. We break it right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare your freedom. We say this morning, Lord, that we have the mind of Christ. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. No longer will we be distracted by the lies of the enemy. We say deception, flee in Jesus' name. Ungodly thoughts, flee in Jesus' name. Patterns of living that are unhealthy, flee in Jesus' name. We say that we will walk out of this place different than the way that we came in, because of the freedom that you give. Lord, we don't want to just live for victory. We want to live from victory. So we thank you for the cross, Lord. We acknowledge the cross, but may we appropriate the power of the cross in our situation and in our life. May we be that Barnabas to someone, but also may we be vulnerable enough to say, I need help. I can't do this on our own. Lord, I pray that you would raise up an army in the Eastern Sierras, raise up an army here at Church on the Mountain that will say, I will get your back. I will fight for you. I won't stand down. I won't relent until I see your breakthrough, till I see you walking in your destiny. Lord, may we be more concerned about the destinies and the breakthrough of others around us than the destiny and the breakthrough of our own lives, Lord Jesus. May we have an attitude that says, I got your back. Your word says that a three-strand cord cannot be broken. I pray for the spirit of unity, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Mike's word this morning, God. May we apply the word of God in our lives. We cannot do it on our own, Lord. We need the body of Christ. Lord, I just pray that you would lift up the sons and daughters of encouragement right now in the name of Jesus. Raise up the Barnabases in this hour, God. I pray that you would raise up the spirit of encouragement, Lord. Lord, I pray that the love language of godly affirmation would become a mark in this church, God. That we would be known as a people who lift others up. We will be known as a people who encourage others in the name of Jesus. Give us eyes to see the way you see and a heart to feel the way you feel for others, God. We lift up the spirit of encouragement. Lord, I just pray for the spirit of encouragement to be released in this place. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Just as we close, can we just give Jesus a shout? Can we thank him for all he's done for us? Come on, let's thank him for the cross. Thank you for the price that was paid. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the freedom that's in this place. Hallelujah! Jesus, we love you. We love you, God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you for the body of Christ. Pastor Mike, anything else you want to add? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Matt wants to play that video. He said he got the video. So I'm just going to play it real quick. And I just think you just got to see this last part. And then we're going to close this. You could start it halfway through. Just... Hallelujah. Amen. So find a Barnabas and be a Barnabas. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful Labor Day. Hope you have fun at the fair. And see you next week.